The following is a paid program on AM 1220 KLBB. The views expressed do not necessarily represent the views of the station owner or management or Endurance Broadcasting, LLC.
Oh, let the sun beat down upon my face. Stars to fill my dream. I'm a traveler of both time and space. To be where I have been. Sit with elders of the gentle race.
Hello, listening audience. Our second ever show of Boating with Tetzloff Yacht Sales and Wolf Marine. We're very excited to have a couple of great guests here. I'm going to just kind of give you a little information again about me, John Tetzloff, Tetzloff Yacht Sales, down at the Stillwater Marina, Mulberry Point, and I'm going to hand it over to Eric.
And I am Eric, Wolf Marine, Stillwater, Minnesota here, just 1 mile north of downtown Stillwater, intersection of Highway 95-96. You can reach us at info@wolfmarine.net. Or give us a call, 651-439-2341. And then back to John here.
Yeah, and I forgot to give you my information to contact me also. You can contact me at 651-214-9463. You can also go to the Tetzloff Yacht Sales website at tetzloffyachtsales.com or the Facebook page for Tetzloff Yacht Sales. And I think we're going to go with our first guest, and he's going to introduce himself and kind of give him his background.
Our first guest here will be Chris Hassis with Hassis Paintworks, Marine and Collision Repair. Welcome, Chris. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, great to see you guys. Thanks for having me down. Last name is Hassis Paintworks, Automotive and Marine Collision Repair. I'm from Stillwater, locally. I've grew up here my whole life and haven't left too far. I have moved to Somerset, Wisconsin, married to my wife, Jana, and we have two young little boys, Caden and Kohler.
Okay, Chris, can you tell me just a little bit about your company and what you do?
Sure, we're automotive and marine collision repair. We just moved to a larger facility here in Stillwater, 1792 Greeley Street South, just up by the old Eufy building from back in the day. We are a full-service marine and automotive collision repair company, fiberglass repair, gel coat repair, and crashed-up automobiles.
Nice. Very nice. How long have you been doing this, then?
I've been in the industry, automotive industry, for about 20 years for automobiles and boats, marine. I was in the automotive industry for 10-plus years, and then in 05 moved over to the marine industry.
Okay, very nice. You know, a lot of these places that do some repairs can't get that big of a boat in their facilities. How large of a boat can you get in your facility?
At the new facility that we moved to, the garage door is 16 by 16, so 16 tall, 16 wide. We've had 40-plus foot boats in there. We just did a full paint job on a 40-foot Formula Cruiser this last summer.
Nice. Very good. What are some of the services that you offer on that, then?
With the fiber on the boat end of things, we to make boating season so short that we try to make it as easy and as quick as possible. So in the summer months, we provide a mobile service to the marinas and dealerships. If a boat's on a trailer, we'll pick it up and deliver it when it's done. Otherwise, automobiles is open year-round. They can come in for a free estimate and start things off that way.
I see there's several things that, you know, could happen to a boat. We all know that. You know, what are some of the more common things that you see?
On a boat, what's common are your stress cracks, your oxidation or hazing to a boat. And then every now and then you'll get your actual collision repaired to a boat where you get a hole or something. Those are pretty much the most common. And then in your hulls, if you've been in the water a long time with some of the bigger cruisers, you'll see some blistering or some damage on the bottom of a boat.
Okay, what are some of, like, your blistering? What is the procedure to fix the blisters on that? I see that once in a while. Even on some of the new boats, you'll see that.
Yeah, the blisters are basically caused by You know, your boat being in the water long periods of time, and it finds a crack within the gel coat and seeps in behind the gel coat on top of the fiberglass. You know, to repair something like that, it includes you need to get the gel coat removed off the bottom of the hull. So in that case, we blast it off. Our blaster uses crushed glass, so it's eco-friendly. And then we determine what repairs need to take place at that point.
And I know I've seen some of Chris's work down at our place there. And keep in mind, a lot of the marinas here will not allow just your average Joe to come in and do this type of work. Chris has been down there, like I said, several times, does great work. Everything is contained. When you do the blasting, everything is contained and clean. When they leave, it looks just better than when they began. What are some of the other things that you do there?
Thanks, Eric. You had back to the blasting for a moment. Most of the marinas and dealerships, everyone's going green. So with the blaster, we've made it pretty clear that he needs to tape everything up and have no dust and take it all with them so there's nothing left behind. So that's why we try to do our best at that. What was the question again, Eric?
That wasn't a question. It was just a little promotion for you, being that when you come into the harbor, you leave it as when you came in. It looks great. You do great work. The other thing, there are several other people I know that do some work on boats. You do have a mobile service, so you will come to the facility and do some work yourself.
Yes, we will. You know, on the big, large cabin cruisers, they don't have a trailer. We don't have a choice but to go to them to do the work. So for the marinas or dealerships or even a private customer that has their boat at a dock or at a marina, we will go down and make a repair, go down, do the estimate, and then make the repairs upon approval.
All right. Do you do any other type of work, winterizing, that type of thing?
Yeah, as I said, we're full service for cars and boats. So we'll do everything from the actual body work, the paint work, glass replacement, structural repairs. We've got a great painter who's great at color matching. Pinstriping and detailing, all is included on both cars and boats. So we're pretty versatile that way.
All right. What are some of the other things that you do as a company to make yourself stand out from the crowd?
Well, same as the mobile repair, like we just mentioned. I don't know too many people that will go down and work on site for boats. There's a lot of tools that you need to have, and you really do need to be set up. And being that we're green, we try to keep it as clean as possible. And then we also offer pickup and delivery. As long as a boat is on a trailer, we're able to pick it up. If we can bring it back to the shop, repairs are a lot faster that way.
It's a great option. Most of or some of the repair work you're going to be doing is probably an insurance claim. Maybe you might have hit a dock or, you know, I've seen crazy things happen where the boats have fallen off of trailers as they're going down the road, collisions, that type of thing. You work closely with the insurance companies.
Yeah, we do. We work hand-in-hand with all insurance companies, marinas, dealerships, and your private boat owner. We try to make it easier for them to get their repairs made.
And I know that one of the things that I see often in used boats are stress cracks. What's kind of the procedure to fix a stress crack?
Yeah, the stress cracks are pretty common. You'll see them on brand new boats. Doesn't matter if it's a small cuddy or all the way up to a cabin cruiser. They're basically caused by flexing, some sort of flexing on and off of a trailer or movement within the gel coat itself. Everybody needs to remember gel coat is the color on the boat. It's extremely brittle, so it does not take much to crack. But the repair procedure is to grind out the crack, fill it with a repair material, sand it, fair it smooth, and then we spray on the gel coat. Gel coat is not like a paint. It does not go on smooth. You're not completed with the repair once you spray the gel coat. Kind of goes on like rock guard on a car, where there once it's cured out, you do need to come back and finish sand and buff it and hope that the color's dead on.
Right, yeah. And I like I said, I've seen a lot of your repairs, and I think from what I've seen, it's been really great. I think you've done great work. The other thing I see a lot of, and especially on used boats, and I've never been afraid of it myself, but the oxidization or hazing of a boat, and what would it take to repair that?
Yeah, that's pretty common, especially on your older boats. That's from the boat being out in the sun rays. The UV, it's UV damage is what it is. So we take it case by case, kind of do a test spot on the boat. Basically, it involves buffing it to see if it'll come out and if it'll stay that way. If it doesn't stay that way and it hazes back over, then there will be some sanding involved. And that's kind of, like I said, a case by case, how much sanding and then how much buffing after that.
Okay. And to prevent the oxidization, what's the best method, you know?
To keep it from coming back?
Keep it looking good.
The best way is to make sure that once your boat's very shiny or new and doesn't have any oxidation on it, to make sure that you keep a wax on there. Make sure if it's out in the open sun, put a wax on once a month or every other month throughout the summer, and that can kind of guarantee it from happening.
Okay, question off the cuff here. Difference between paint and gel coat?
Paint is a... It can be a two-part. It sprays on, and when you're done, it's shiny and looks like it could go from there, like you're completed. Where gel coat, you spray it on, and it's rough and looks like rock guard. It cures with a catalyst. Well, paint does as well, but it's a fiberglass resin, where a paint is a urethane.
Is one better than the other?
Not necessarily. Everything on a boat is fiberglass based. Everything on a car is actual like urethane or acrylic urethane based.
Nice.
Yeah, and I just want to cut in real quick. I know I was doing a sea trial a couple years ago on a Sea Ray, and the controls were real touchy, and I accidentally touched the dock. And, in fact, I think it was at Wolf Marine, unfortunately. But anyway, accidentally touched the dock, but it required a repair. And, you know, Chris and his guys did it, and I'll tell you what, you couldn't see it, that there was a repair done. It was just matched perfectly. He did a really good job.
Thanks, yeah. John. That's what we strive for.
Yeah, and we got to stress that was operator error.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with that one, I guess. It was. What can I say?
All right. Chris, again, tell us how people can reach you, email, that type of thing, and location, phone number, that type of stuff.
Sure. We're located at 1792 Greeley Street South here in Stillwater, just a block and a half off of 36 on Greeley Street if you head north. Our phone number, 651-786-9114, or by web, HossesPaintWorks.com or Facebook.
Oh, thanks for coming in, Chris. It was a pleasure, and hopefully we can drum some work up for you. I know that you're still busy right now, even into the winter months, but never hurts to have more.
Yes, well, thanks a lot for having me on. I appreciate it, Eric and John, and we'll see you at the boat show.
Thanks for coming. Appreciate it.
Convenient location and protected bay. Shouldn't that be where you harbor your boat? If so, dock your boat at Wolf Marine in Stillwater. Hello, this is Eric Wolf. After all, why have a boat if you can't get out on the water and enjoy it? My grandparents, along with my father, established this marina at the intersection of Highway 95 and 96, just a mile north of Stillwater in 1957. By being just north of downtown, you avoid heavy traffic that keeps you from getting out onto the water. And in our protected bay, we have hundreds of slips ranging in size from 16 to 50 feet. So we can accommodate a variety of boats. Not sure if this is the best place to keep your boat? Come see me at the Minneapolis Boat Show. I'll be at the Wolf Marine booth number 1425. I can answer your questions so you can decide the best place to dock your boat. And because Wolf Marine is a three-generation family-owned marina, you can count on consistency from year to year. Please come and see me at the Wolf Marine booth at the Minneapolis Boat Show. Talk to me and get out on the water faster at Wolf Marine.
Everything might be frozen right now, but if you are already thinking of getting out on the water in your new boat, now is the time to talk to me. Hello, this is John Tetzloff of Tetzloff Yacht Sales. I will be at the Tetzloff Yacht Sales booth number 86 at the Minneapolis Boat Show January 21st through the 24th. This is a great, no-pressure way to talk about getting you on the water, whether you're looking at a houseboat, cruiser, motor yacht, or something else. And with the largest selection of boats in the area, not only do we have boats in Stillwater, but we also broker boats up and down the St. Croix, the Mississippi, Lake Minnetonka, all over North America, and even overseas. Come see the selection at booth 86 at the Minneapolis Boat Show. I will help you find the best boat for you, and because my name is the name on the sign, I will work hard for you both before and after the sale. To enjoy the water this summer, come see me at booth 86 and visit TetzloffYachtSales.com. All right. Well, we're going to move on to our second guest, Paul Kivistow. He is the bridge construction engineer for the new bridge going up here in Stillwater. And we've got some good questions and answers here that you're going to hear. But first, Paul's kind of get a little background on him.
Sure. Thanks, John. Thanks for having me on. Again, Paul Kivistow, I'm the bridge construction engineer for MnDOT, as the managing partner along with Wisconsin Department of Transportation for this project. So in my capacity, I manage the construction contract. The current contract is a $332 million contract, joint venture of Lunda Construction and Ames Construction, and also handled the early foundation contract back in 2013, which constructed the river piers. So been associated with the project for 4 years now, plus some time before that in the early design phases. Been working with MnDOT for about 33 years, and this is one of the tail end of the career type of projects.
Well, it's a heck of a project to end on. I'll tell you what, that thing is looking good, and there's a lot of people looking forward to that being done and using it. It's going to be a great for everybody involved, that's for sure. So we're going to start out with a question here. When is the bridge going to be finished?
We expect it to be finished in the fall of 2017. There's a lot of work yet to be done during 2017. Among the things will be to finish the closure pours. If you look out there today, we see there's little gaps in a couple of areas between the piers. So those will be completed here yet this winter. And then we'll be moving into things like finishing the railings, an overlay, thin chip seal overlay goes on the wearing surface of the bridge. We'll paint the bridge, get the electrical, the lighting, all that kind of stuff done. And so by fall of 2017, we'll be driving on it.
Cool. Has there been any work taking place over the winter?
Yes, there has. In spite of the cold temperatures, there's certainly some days when it's too cold, the crews can't work, but we're doing things like the closure pours. There's six closure pours in the main span, the part you see from the river. Three of those are complete, three more yet to go. So that's been ongoing. There's been a lot of work with the electrical, getting conduits and whatnot in there, preparing some of the surfaces, some grinding that's going on. Installation of a drainage system that will ultimately carry all of the water from the bridge off of the bridge, so some of that stuff is going on as well.
Wow, that's a project, I'll tell you. What is a closure pour?
So a closure pour is from each pier, as we've seen the bridges going up, we put a segment up, one to the left, one to the right, until ultimately we are cantilevering 300 feet each side of each pier. And there's about a two-foot gap between, say, Pier 8 and Pier 9, and it goes between actually a closure pour in each span. And that then will get a formwork that's put around it. There's a rebar and post-tensioning that gets included and then filled with concrete.
Wow. Okay. What about the no wake? Is that going to still be in place this coming summer?
Yes, it will. So it's been in place for each of the construction seasons so far to ensure the safety of the workers as well as the boating public. But yes, it will be in place in 2017.
Okay. What about anti-icing? What's going on there with that?
There is no anti-icing system on the bridge. Some of the bridges we may be familiar with have had a type of automated system that sprays chemicals on the deck. That is not part of the St. Croix River crossing. The snow removal will be typical methods with plowing, with a little unique thing. This bridge is almost 1 mile long, and the snow will not be put into the St. Croix River. It will not be plowed into the river, but rather it will be placed onto trucks, transported to the Wisconsin side of the project, and put into a holding area there where it'll eventually melt in the spring.
Well, that makes sense. You would want some contaminants getting into the water, that's for sure.
That's correct. Environmentally sensitive project. So, yes, we're endeavoring in many, many ways to protect the environment.
Cool. How much cable is in the bridge deck itself?
So in the bridge deck, it consists of a bunch of steel strands. The steel strands are 6/10 inches in diameter, so a little bit more than a half inch in diameter. And all of the cable or strands is about 2,000 miles of cable. So if we would take these rolls, big rolls of cable, take off from our St. Croix River Bridge project, head down to St. Croix, all the way down the Mississippi, get to New Orleans, we'd turn around and come back, and we'd still be dragging cable that whole way.
Wow. That's a lot of cable. All right. So what's going to happen with the lift bridge when this bridge is finished?
So the lift bridge will remain as a functioning lift bridge. It will be part of a 4.7-mile loop trail that is currently being constructed. Some of it's being constructed on the Minnesota shore at this time. And so there'll be a trail on the Minnesota shore. The lift bridge will be used then for pedestrians and bicyclists, and then the loop trail continue on the Wisconsin side, and there's a 12-foot trail on a new bridge that will be the completion of that loop trail. So the lift bridge remains as a functioning lift bridge.
Well, that's good news. I'm sure there's a lot of folks out there that are going to really use that also.
Yes, there will be.
Yeah. So will the lift bridge still lift for boats? That's a big one.
It will. It still will, and my understanding is it is going to be on a similar schedule. But yes, it will lift for boats and allow the bigger vessels to be able to pass through.
Okay, all right. Will the no-wake zone continue in 2018 after the bridge is open to traffic?
It will not. The no-wake zone was utilized, as I mentioned earlier, for the safety of both the construction workers and the public, make sure people are traveling safely in that construction zone. But once 2018 comes, no need for that no-wake zone, and so MnDOT is not going to keep that going.
Okay. Will there be any barges traveling on the St. Croix River in 2017?
Yes, there will. It will not be as busy as certainly in 2016 when all of the segments were coming up from the Gray Cloud Island facility where they were fabricated. But there still will be some work that goes on. It's going to be a lot of it demobilizing equipment, cranes, some of the false work, the steel piling and things that we see to hold up some of the concrete. A lot of that stuff, it'll be put onto barges and then shipped downriver. Won't be a whole lot of stuff coming upriver anymore, but there will be some things going downriver.
Okay, all right. Will the mooring cells from the old King Plant Bridge unloader facility still stay in place? I'm sorry?
They will be removed. So those of us who can remember the old barge unloader facility itself, that has been almost completely removed. There's one little conveyor section that will be removed in 2017. And then the large mooring cells that were there for that barge unloader facility will be removed. So there's steel sheet piling that goes around these mooring cells. That will be removed, and there's some aggregate material on the inside of that of the cells. As the sheet piling is removed, that will slough off and make and stay in the bottom portion of the river. And actually, the people who are in the know on this say it'll be great habitat for fish and aquatic species and whatnot. So mark out your fishing hole.
That's right. I was just going to say, you let the secret out. Yep. What can we do? All right. So will any of the access facilities remain for use by the boating public?
There are three access facilities we've used for the project itself. There's one right underneath the bridge. And that one, there's actually been a possibility that the Minnesota DNR is looking at for an added boat ramp facility. That has not come to any finalization at this time. They're looking at the permits and the constructability and whatnot. But that is a potential. The other two, there's one what we call the Excel facility where a lot of the construction traffic has gone. That will totally be replaced, be removed, and some new vegetation established there and look very natural. And then the other one that we've used is the Stillwater dock wall facility. That will return to the city of Stillwater for them to do as they see fit.
Okay. All right. A few more questions here that we really didn't prepare for, but nothing. Hopefully nothing tough. A lot of questions I get from folks are stuff that kind of drops off the bridge, goes into the water. Is there a lot of it, and does that stuff somehow get removed?
We try to do a very, very good job of keeping the deck clean, keeping things from falling into the river. Certainly there are times when that does happen, and so the construction crews make a big effort to go out and salvage those materials. And so, yes, whenever we see it, we go and get it. But environmentally, we've done as great of a job as we can to keep things clean, to keep the river clean, as well as I mentioned the drainage system. So, you know, keeping things off.
Yeah, I've heard that from folks that it's really going good and you guys are taking care of that really nice.
Thank you.
Okay, I might have a question that I've heard rumors that the old lift bridge might be going through a rehab when it's finally turned into a pedestrian bridge. Is there any truth to that?
Yes, there is. It will be a construction contract. We're calling it a conversion project. And so it will make it ADA compliant, for instance. So people with physical disabilities will be able to get out on the bridge in wheelchairs and whatnot. There will be some structural repairs. It will be painted. The paint color will be back to the original paint color that was utilized. So, yes, there will be. And that will start upon completion of the new bridge. Once we're driving on a new bridge, the lift bridge will close and the construction project would start.
2018?
Yes.
Okay.
And real quick, end it with, you've got to have a story that you can tell folks that maybe happened during the construction here.
Yeah, a lot of stories, John. A lot of stories that have happened. A lot of interesting stories. Environmentally and just wildlife-wise, there was one of our inspectors had noticed one time there were three deer swimming across the river. And they got all the way to Wisconsin and must not liked what they saw. And they turned back and they came back to the Minnesota side.
You got to watch it. This is the Packer Channel we're on right now. So, I understand.
I think those deer knew that the Wisconsin hunters are better shots than the Minnesota hunters.
We'll go with that one right there.
There we go.
Well, great, Paul. That was great information. I think folks are going to really tune into that. And maybe down the road we'll have you back for an update.
Okay. Well, appreciate the invite to come on and share stories about the bridge.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
And that concludes our second show here. And just a reminder, my name's Eric Wolf, Wolf Marine, Stillwater, Minnesota, 651-439-2341, info@wolfmarine.net. And you can come see us at the Minneapolis Boat Show, booth number 1425.
And this is John Tetzloff, Tetzloff Yacht Sales, TetzloffYachtSales.com, 575 Main Street North in Stillwater. Any boating need, we can take care of you. And we're going to be at the boat show also, booth 78. So stop on by and say hi, and let's talk about boats. Thank you.